In the will of God, beginning next Lord's Day, we will begin a series of messages on the seven last words that the Lord uttered from the cross of Calvary, and that will take us up to Easter. Now someone says, you're not counting right. I'm counting right. And I will begin that series in the will of God next Sunday on the seven last words that the Lord Jesus uttered from the cross of Calvary, and that will be our Sunday morning subject throughout the winter months until we come to Easter. So you can look forward to that, and I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart. I have thrown away everything I ever had as far as notes on it, started all anew. And these words that our Lord Jesus uttered from the cross, they're tremendous. Packed full of real message to us all. Tonight we're going to have Super Bowl right here with Nehemiah. Come out tonight and be with us at 7 o'clock as we study from Nehemiah chapter 4. I'll tell you, this fourth chapter is quite a chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Come with your Bible and your ballpoint pen, because I trust we'll have something that God will teach us from His Word. Now I hope you have your Bible. Take it and turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10 comes just before Chronicles. Page 403 in my Bible. 1 Kings chapter 10. We'll be using our Bibles periodically throughout the course of the message, so keep this portion open, and we'll be going to just one other, but this will be home base for us throughout our message this morning. 1 Kings chapter 10. Shall we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our Father, once again we realize that we acknowledge in Thy presence, without Thee we can do absolutely nothing. Lord, we so often, as we come to a place like this, feel as water spilled upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness to Thee this morning. We pray that Thou will take that weakness and make it strong. Lord, we realize again that Satan would be here to distract, and so once again put a hedge about us with that precious blood. And Lord, we're just praying that Thou will do a work in hearts today for Thy glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 10, please, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was not anything hidden from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants who stand continually before thee, and who hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to execute justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There were no such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And God will bless to us this portion we have read from His Word. I'm sure you have recognized this story as one of those stories that you heard in Sunday school many times years ago. This is the story of an unnamed queen, and I trust that her story this morning will have a great spiritual impact upon each of us. Can you imagine traveling probably some 1,200 miles on camelback. That's what this queen did. It is assumed that this queen came from somewhere along the Persian Gulf to Jerusalem to visit Israel's tremendous king that was reigning at that time. Now, what she heard from the king's lips and what she saw overwhelmed her. And we'll be considering that this morning as we get into the basis or get into the middle of our message and the story unfolds. Now, the first part of our message this morning will be a series of statements. And the latter part of our message this morning will be a spiritual application to the answers to those statements. Now, someone says, aren't you stretching it just a little bit? My answer? An emphatic no. And you know why? The reason for this is that our Lord Jesus, with one sweeping statement, makes the application. So I know I'm on firm ground this morning. The first statement then, why she came. Now, some may speculate. Wonder why this woman came to Jerusalem? Probably out of curiosity after she had heard of the splendor and greatness of King Solomon. Others might have thought that she came to Jerusalem possibly to negotiate some sort of a treaty. Now, I don't believe either of these was the reason for her coming. Notice in verse 1, if you can, I believe here's part of the reason why she came. She came to test him with hard questions. You see, she sought for the king's wisdom. And verse 3 tells us that she didn't go away disappointed. But do you notice in verse 1 something else? She also inquired concerning the name of the Lord. Now, without doubt, this nameless woman didn't desire Solomon's wealth. She had plenty of that. But rather, she came to see and hear his wisdom. Besides that, this woman, probably, was a worshiper of other gods. And in all probability, she wanted to learn something about the God whom Solomon worshipped, who made his kingdom such as a kingdom of splendor. It's quite possible that this queen may have read some of Solomon's proverbs. Words like this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And in all probability, she wanted to know what these words meant. I think personally that the inference in verse 1 is very strong, and it suggests that she wanted to learn something about Solomon's God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, she did not go home disappointed. She did learn something about Solomon's God. Look at verse 8 with me, and you'll see. She makes a eulogy to Solomon. And notice how, verse 9 rather. And notice how verse 9 begins. Blessed be the Lord thy God. Now, just how deep her knowledge was and her appreciation of Solomon's God was, we're not sure. We only trust and hope that what she heard bore fruit in her life after she returned to her own country. First of all, then, why she came. Secondly, what she heard. No doubt, being a person accustomed to gorgeous finery, I don't think she made her journey for any additional adornment. If there was to be any additional adornment, I believe she wanted this to be the adornment of her mind. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 2. It says here, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. And she didn't go away disappointed. Notice verse 3. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was not anything hidden from the king which he told her not. I think she listened to that king and the words from his lips with bated breath. And the truths that he gave to her made her speechless. There's no doubt about it. Solomon's wisdom was supreme. You say, how do you know that? Keep this place. We're coming right back. Go to 1 Kings chapter 4. Just back to chapter 4 and verse 29. Chapter 4 and verse 29. This gives just a small description of the wisdom of this great king. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and very much understanding and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Now, that's a pretty smart man. Now, notice the next verse. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman and Charcoal and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the nations round about. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. He spoke of the trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fish. And there came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Now back to our chapter. It's no wonder that verse 3 tells us that Solomon was able to answer all the queen's questions. Why she came? What she heard? Thirdly, what she saw? Notice verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. You see, not only did Solomon excel in wisdom, even all over the children of the East country, but God added to him precious, priceless possessions. The grandeur, which must have met the gaze of the Queen of Sheba, was far beyond her conception. Solomon's palace. What a place that must have been. Then think of the retinue of his servants, his ministers, his cupbearers, and then the beauty of the house of the Lord in which gold was everywhere. What she saw so completely overwhelmed her. Notice verse 5 says there was no more spirit left in her. She got weak. Why she came? What she heard? What she saw? Fourthly, what she said. Now the queen was so enraptured by what Solomon said that she declared in verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Say, ladies, here's a lady hunting for words. Can you believe it? Why she came, what she heard, what she saw, what she said. Fifthly, what she gave. After her expressing her heartfelt gratitude for all that she had seen and heard, it was the queen's turn to give something to Solomon, some costly gift. Will you notice what they are in verse 10? And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store. And precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Do you know, at $565 an ounce, that the amount of this gold was several millions of dollars? Now, it wasn't because Solomon needed it. He didn't need these gifts at all. But in his graciousness, he took them. He accepted them. Now notice the Holy Spirit's comment about this. In verse 23, just go across the page. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. But I want you to notice with me, sixthly, what she received. Now the queen's gifts, no doubt, were lavish. Tremendous gifts. But in a certain sense, I suppose, they were given out of tribute of her heart by what she had heard, because of what she had heard from King Solomon. But now it was the king's turn. He was to load her with gifts from his royal bounty. I want to paraphrase verse 13, if I can. He gave all her desires. That vase, take it. That lovely chandelier, take it. He gave her all her desires, whatever she asked for. And then you know what happened? After she couldn't ask for any more, then he gave her some more. That's what it says. In addition, he willingly gave her out of his royal bounty. There's no doubt about it. The Queen of Sheba was never the same after her visit to King Solomon. I have no doubt that when she returned to her own country and told about the trip that she had taken to see this great king, that this was how she ended her description. He's the greatest. Now, she probably said to them, I can't explain it. If you don't believe what I say, you go and see for yourself. Now, I want to direct you, keep this place, we're coming right back. I want to direct you to just one verse in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus takes this whole thing and brings it into its proper spiritual perspective. Matthew chapter 12, please. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Page 1012 in my Bible. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. After we have read this verse and commented on it, then go right back to 1 Kings 10. Matthew 12 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost or the farthest parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, it's hard to believe that a man born having peasant parents, who was born in a barn, who was cradled in a manger, would be greater than Solomon. But he was. He was. These men that heard these words from the lips of the Savior didn't have to travel 1,200 miles to come into his presence. No, he was right there, standing before them. And yet, they refused even to acknowledge that he was the Christ of God, their King. Now, it's difficult. It was difficult for them. It may be difficult for us to believe that this person who stood there that day declaring himself to be greater than Solomon was the one who... No, let me restate that. He is greater than the greatest and better than the best. Now come back to our chapter, and I want to go over these six things again. First of all, she came. The Queen of Sheba came to test Solomon with questions and inquire concerning his God. I'm wondering here this morning if each one in this audience has come to that place in our life experience when we, by faith, have come into the presence of Christ. Using the idiom of our story, having heard of him and his fame, have we come? Believe me, coming to Christ is a necessity. Remember that rich young ruler? Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. I read in chapter 10, verse 17, and that's when he, the Lord Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running. The rich young ruler came running. I turn in my Bible to Luke chapter 19. I read about a man whose name was Zacchaeus. He came personally. He sought who the Lord Jesus was. He was like me. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree. He knew the Lord Jesus had to pass by that way. And when the Lord Jesus looked up and introduced himself to Zacchaeus, he came down and received him joyfully. The rich young ruler came. Zacchaeus came. Have you come? Let me quote to you the last invitation in the Bible. It's Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know how I like to translate that? Free of charge. Oh, may it be that someone here this morning will come to Christ. In the words of the old hymn, goes like this. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. She came. Have you come? Secondly, she heard. Have you ever listened to the words of the lovely Lord Jesus, who is greater than Solomon? Let me give you some of his words. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:67. That's what the Savior said. Oh, listen to his words. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. Oh, listen to his words. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. John 5:23 and 24. Oh, listen to his words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. Oh, listen to his words. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, out of his, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:37 and 38. Can you imagine what these words sounded like in the ears of that woman in John 8? That prostitute. Listen to the words that the Savior spoke to her. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, my friend, listen to the words of the Savior. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. Have you come to the greater than Solomon? The Queen of Sheba heard the words of Solomon. Have you heard the words of the greater than Solomon? Thirdly, she saw. Now when the Queen of Sheba looked around her, she was just overcome with the splendor of everything that met her eye. I want to direct your attention this morning to the splendor of the greater than Solomon. Only I'm going to give it to you in two aspects of his splendor. And I'm going to describe that splendor in those two aspects by quoting to you a hymn. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to quote it to you. Listen to the two aspects of his splendor, and you'll have them in your mind's eye immediately. Here it goes. Behold, behold the Lamb of God on the cross. For us he shed his precious blood on the cross. Oh, hear his overwhelming cry, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. Draw near and see the Savior die. See the Savior die on the cross. Come, sinner, see him lifted up on the cross. He drinks for you the bitter cup on the cross. The rocks do rend, the mountains quake, while Jesus doth atonement make, while Jesus suffers for our sake on the cross. Where'er I go, I'll tell the story of the cross. In nothing else my soul shall glory save the cross. Yea, this my constant theme shall be through time and in eternity, that Jesus tasted death for me on the cross. I say it reverently. see Him in His splendor on the cross. But the last verse of that hymn gives us another aspect of His splendor. But now, He's risen, ascended, crowned on the throne. Heaven's highest place for Him is found on the throne. Our hearts we low in worship bow and join as one to hail Him now. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art Thou on the throne. See Him in His splendor on the throne. The writer to the Hebrews takes these two aspects of His splendor and combines them. Listen. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's one aspect. Crowned with glory and honor. That's the other aspect. That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But this man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Let me ask you, have we seen, have we viewed the Christ of God with the eye of faith? You remember that story in Numbers chapter 21 of those sinning Israelites? God had to give them punishment. He sent fiery serpents among them and bit the people, and much people died, and they came running to Moses and said, Moses, do something about it. And Moses did. Went into the presence of God, and God said, Moses, you take a pole and you form a serpent of brass and you put it on that pole, and then you give the command, look and live. Our Lord Jesus one day stood in front of a man by the name of Nicodemus, and He took that actual historical happening and He gave it a spiritual application. You know what He said? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever looks at Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Say, Queen of Sheba is teaching us something this morning, isn't she? She came. Have you come? She heard. Have you heard the Savior's words? She saw. Have you seen the Christ of God in the message of the gospel? Fourthly, she said. Now, the Queen's words were just full of praise. We tried to point them out a moment ago. In fact, did you notice that she was searching for adjectives to actually describe the thoughts of her heart? I wish we had time, but I'll only refer to it this morning. If we were to turn back to the book of the Song of Solomon, it's a rather difficult book to interpret. But there are many applications, and there is one that's quite appropriate. In the book of the Song of Solomon, the groom is a beautiful picture of Christ. The bride in the Song of Solomon is a beautiful picture of His church. In the opening chapters of the book of the Song of Solomon, the bride makes a detailed description of the one she has come to love. In fact, she finally comes to the place where she describes Him from the top of His head to His feet. When she gets all through, this is what she says. Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 6. She came. Have you come? She heard. Have you heard the voice of the Savior? She saw. Have you seen Him in His splendor on Calvary, as well as in His splendor in the glory? She said, having seen Him, she had to talk about Him. But then there's one more. No, there are two. This is the fifth. She gave. Now, what could the Queen of Sheba give to the wealthy Solomon? Let me ask you this. what can you and I give to the greater than Solomon? He's got it all. What can we give him? I'm full of hymns this morning. H-Y-M-N-S. Maybe we could give him something in the words of this verse of an old hymn. Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Did you hear that? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way, gladly obeying thee. This I say, this will I do with Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. She came. She heard. She saw. She said. She gave. Now lastly, she received. Notice verse 13 with me, will you please? And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the big question. What has the greater than Solomon given to us? Let me tell you. It goes like this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:27-28. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:11. What is the greater than Solomon given? Eternal life. But there's more. Once you have received that eternal life, these are the extras. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He gives the Holy Spirit, John 14:16-17. When you receive his eternal life, and then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, then you know what he gives? And this verse has meant an awful lot to me this week. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives eternal life. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives peace. But he gives something else. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 91:11. And the writer to the Hebrews comments on that, and he says, are they, that is the angels, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? The greater than Solomon gives eternal life. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives peace. And then he says, you know what? You need a guard. I'll give you one of my angels. Guardian angel. Now, how do you bring this all together? I'll tell you how. One verse. I think if I asked you everyone to quote it, most of you could. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children, the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you ever received the greater than Solomon? He's the best. He's the best. Someone came to me this morning as I was greeting the friends, and this person said, I have never met your wife. I said to her, you just look at the loveliest person in this audience and you'll meet my wife. She's the best. He's the greatest. He's the best. Do you know him?
Do you know him? He wants to give you eternal life, which will make you fit for heaven.
And the bonus of it is you've got eternal life down here to live the eternal life in and through you down here. But the best part of it is it makes you fit for heaven. But you got to take it. You have to take it. Just Friday, I found a bit of poetry. I'm not very good on poetry. And I didn't memorize it. I should have, but I didn't. Just two short verses that I think pretty well sum up the whole thing. Speaking of that greater than Solomon, this is what the poet said. He is stronger than the strongest. He's far better than the best. And his love has lasted longest. It has stood the hardest test. And the sinfulest may trust him, and a welcome never doubt. For he pledged his word of promise that he will not cast them out. He's the Lord of life and glory, now exalted far on high. But we love to tell the story of his coming down to die. But he's coming, quickly coming, all his glories to display. And we'll see him and be like him through heaven's everlasting day. Whew. That's good stuff. Do you know him this morning? There are some of you here today, I'm afraid, have never received my Savior. May I tell you something? You're lost. But I'm so glad my Bible declares the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he'll save you this morning. Shall we bow in prayer? As we all close our eyes this morning, I'm the only one that's going to have my eyes open. I want to ask this morning if there's someone here and you've never been saved, and you say, Mr. Pilon, I don't understand all you said, but I'd like to have you pray for me, especially because I want to know that I'm saved. Now, maybe there's someone here this morning and you're just reluctant. We're not going to buttonhole you, but we're here to help you. And would you just lift your hand wherever you are so that we can see it, so that we can pray for you especially this morning. There's some of you here, you're not saved. You need to be. Is there someone? Someone? Father, we thank thee for everyone who has received the greater than Solomon as personal Savior. And we pray that those who are still refusing to receive him may receive the greatest gift, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray. Amen. Hymn number 42 in our hymnals.